It's so good that we can gather today to worship God in spirit and in truth. As Wilson has mentioned, it's so grateful that we live in this country wherein we have the freedom to do so without any type of fear whatsoever as we praise our God according to his will as found within the scriptures. I want to share with you a topic that is extremely serious, but a topic we don't take too seriously. And maybe that's one of the problems. So I want to begin this morning with a statement from a general of times past, General MacArthur. General Douglas MacArthur made this statement. He states, "The history of failure in war can almost be summed up in two words, too late. Too late in comprehending the deadly purpose of the potential enemy, too late in realizing the mortal danger, too late in preparedness, too late in uniting all the possible forces for resistance, and too late in standing with one's friends." He's got a good point. A good point. Too late. We don't take it seriously. And maybe that's why even when we look in history, there is no compromise when there's war, when there's battle between evil and good. And as was read this morning by Rodney, you and I are in a battle this very hour. We're in a battle this very day. We're in a battle till we put off our bodies of flesh. But let's face it. How often do we think of it as a battle? How often do we think how serious of matter this is? How often do we, myself included, pay attention to 1 Timothy 6:12? Fight the good fight of faith. Well, if he says that, that must be that there's a battle. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called, and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Trouble is, sometimes we're too late. We're too late fighting that fight because we don't think there is a fight. Sometimes we're too late because we think we've got it pretty good, which we do physically wise, but we're still in a battle. And the sad thing about it, when you see someone who is diagnosed of having cancer, and we've all had loved ones who have been diagnosed with cancers, and we have loved ones who have passed this life because of cancer. When they're diagnosed with cancer, they don't just sit back and say nothing or do nothing. They do whatever they can till they no longer exist on this earth. I want to tell you, the Bible teaches that we have a battle far greater than cancer, and it's a battle for our soul. What's really sad is cancer do take the lives of our loved ones. But if we're too late in this battle that you and I face, it'll not simply take our physical life, it'll take our soul. You and I need to pay attention that today, this very hour, you and I are in a battle, and it's a battle for our soul. Matthew 16:26, what does it profit a man if he gain the whole world and what? Lose his own soul. You know, people plan for their legacy. Your legacy is not here on this earth because you're only here for a short time. Your legacy is where you're going to spend eternity. And it's so sad if you and I fail to heed the warnings within God's word that we're too late and the greatest battle you and I will ever face. Now, when we talk about this battle that we're facing, let's first consider the enemy, how he is described within the scriptures. Because without the Lord, we would never defeat this enemy. But let's speak about this enemy. It states here in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." We're all familiar with that passage. But have you taken a step back and try to understand how serious that is? A roaring lion. That's how the devil is described here, like a roaring lion. One thing I told my wife, I would never go to Africa. I would never go to Africa on a safari because the trouble on those safaris, those animals aren't in cages. I don't mind going to the zoo. I'm pretty brave when I look in the lion cage and he's of far enough distance from me, and there's no way whatsoever he can get to me. I am not paying thousands of dollars to go to Africa to sit in a truck where a lion's running loose. Would you? Not me. Now, of course, we know the devil is not a lion, but we know how severe it is. You don't want to be in contact with a lion. He's described as a lion. Now, there's some other descriptions of the devil. He is spoken of as a murderer and a liar. Let's go to John chapter 8. This is the enemy that you and I are fighting this very day. In John chapter 8, in verse 44, as Jesus is rebuking the Jews here, but he goes on and states this in verse 44. Speaking of those Jews there, he said, "You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. For when he speaks a lie. He speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it." So the devil, who we are fighting against, who our battle is against, as a murderer and a liar. That hasn't changed, my friend. That's still true today. I truly believe that. I think sometimes we read these passages and we look in past tense. No, it's present tense. The battle's still going. Let's go to another passage, Matthew chapter 4. In Matthew chapter 4 and verse 3, listen to what it tells us here. "Now when the tempter came," this is the time when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness. "Now when the tempter came to him, he said, 'If you are the Son of God, command these stones become bread.'" So now he's spoken here as a tempter. So he's a murderer, he's a liar, he's a tempter, he's like a roaring lion. Is that a pretty major opponent that you and I are facing? Is it something that we should just forget about day by day? I suggest not. Let's go to another illustration. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We have recorded for us here in verse 4, it tells us here, "Whose mind the God of this age has blinded, who does not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine to them." Now what we have here, he is spoken of as the God of this world, blinding their minds. Might be through prejudice, like the Jews. Remember, they were blinded because of prejudice. Might be because of indifference. Might simply because we don't think we're in a battle. You know, if people understood the battle we're in, this building would be full this morning. Now, I'm glad you're here. I'm not complaining, but I'm just saying, people don't understand this battle and the victory we can have over this battle. Because if they did, they'd be here. They'd be worshiping. They'd be doing those things, including some of my brethren who choose not to worship. They don't come to their senses, it's going to be too late. It's not going to be simply good enough. I was a member of the Church of Christ, and I'm on the church rolls at the Lake Gibson Church of Christ. That means nothing. We've got to be fighting that battle. Again, let's look at another passage. This is our enemy. In Revelation 12:9, it talks about he deceives the whole world. Remember when Jesus was taken up to the mountaintop? And he said, "All these things I'll give to you." Now, of course, God permitted him to have this, but here again, a warning to you and I on being too late. Revelation 12:9. It says, "So the great dragon was cast out, and the serpent of old was called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world, and he was cast into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him." Brethren, we need to take this seriously. I'll give you a silly illustration. Many years ago, when I played high school football, we had a team that hadn't lost a game. We were pretty puffed up with ourselves. And we were going to play a team that was not even mediocre, but below mediocre. So that week before the game, we kind of just took it easy during practice. And we thought we're going to just go in that Saturday and just walk all over them. They humiliated us so bad, it was ridiculous. The problem was, now much lesser than the battle we're talking here, it was a battle. Football is a battle between two teams. We didn't prepare for the enemy. We didn't prepare for their strength. We just thought we were going to walk all over them. And they walked all over us. And I won't tell you about the following week of practice. That's not the time to do so. Satan walks all over us because we don't take him seriously. He hinders us, you and I, from doing the things we want to do because we don't see there's a battle. We've got our comfortable homes. We've got money coming in. We've got our refrigerators full of food. We've got clothes in our closet. And even we take trips. And there's nothing wrong in that. But don't forget, we're still in a battle. We're still in a battle with Satan. And what's at stake, my friend, is your soul. One more passage before I move on. This enemy is relentless. He's relentless. Turn with me, if you will, to Luke chapter 4, verse 13. And Luke chapter 4 and verse 13. We have recorded for us here as he leaves Jesus. This is after his temptation. It states, "Now when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him," listen, "until an opportune time." It wasn't a one-shot only deal. Now, God chose not to reveal all the times he was tempted, but don't you think he looked for other opportune times? And guess what? The devil wants your soul. That eternal part of you that will either end up in heaven or in condemnation. And the sad thing, there's nobody that has to go to condemnation. It's just we're too late. We don't understand this battle. Now that we see the adversary, and I do. Someone said, "Chuck, do you believe there's a devil?" Well, okay, listen carefully. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. And I believe he's described here in various ways. But now let's see how he works. I wish he'd work like the cartoons. I wish the devil would come with pointed things and pitchfork and just scare you to death as you saw him. That would be a simple way. In fact, there are some people that look, "Hey, he looks like the devil." Well, no, we don't know what the devil looks like. In fact, I would suggest unto you, if he did have a physical look, he'd be the kindest, happiest individual you'd ever see. And just smile all the way as he leads your soul down to condemnation. How does the devil work today, 2022? Listen to his tactics. Well, first and foremost, he takes away the word. Let's go to Luke chapter 8 and verse 12. Well, we have the seed, the word of God, and Jesus explains that to us. And you had the four different types of soil, and we know that the soil is the heart. We have recorded for us in Luke chapter 8 and verse 12, "Those by the wayside are the ones who hear," and then it says, "Then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their heart." Okay, let's pause for a moment. The devil comes and takes away the word out of their heart. Now remember, we have freedom of choice. So how does the devil take the word out of our heart? I want to suggest because we allow him to do so. And how do we do that? Well, there's a good percentage of people that aren't even interested in religion at all, right? So they hear the word and it means nothing to them. It can never produce in them because they don't pay attention to the word. There are those who are indifferent because they've got the religious bias. "I've got my religion." You ever hear people talk like that? "I've got my religion." Go talk to someone else. "I've got my religion." Well, see, the devil takes away it out of their heart. They don't examine themselves, 2 Corinthians 13, because they feel okay. See, there's many different ways, but the way I want to suggest to you, he takes the word out of your heart because you allow him to do so. Either by your indifference, or by your religious bias, or by whatever bias you might have. The word is God's power. But if I've got the wrong disposition to the word, that's how Satan's going to take the word out of my heart. Let's go another way. He promotes one to lie. Go with me, if you will, to Acts chapter 5. In Acts chapter 5 and verse 3. Oh, well, we all lie. Well, we shouldn't. We all lie. You ever hear people talk like that? Everybody lies. Well, wait a minute. Well, where did that come through from? That surely didn't come from God. God doesn't lie. Jesus didn't lie. And we shouldn't lie. But we lie because we see that it's convenient. So this is another tactic of the devil. In Acts chapter 5, we have recorded for us in verse 3 where Ananias is questioned by Peter. And it says, and Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? Now, the thing is that he's leaving the impression he gave all. Now, there's a lot of lessons here. First of all, he didn't have to give all. When Peter said that, he could say, I gave a part. I kept a part and I gave a part. But he wanted to appear that he had given all. And then when he was put in the spot, he lied. He lied. Isn't that what people do today? You see, this is one of the tactics of the devil. When you're put on the spot and you got to acknowledge what you did was wrong, sometimes it's easier to lie. And that's just what the devil wants. You know what that shows? Shows a lack of character. And when it shows a lack of character, then the devil knows one way to get to you. Is you have a lack of character. Let's talk about taxes. Taxes, April 15th. Wilson, I believe, as was I, self-employed. We make a contract with the congregation. Someone said, Chuck, you know, you don't even have to claim your income. Oh, yes, I do. Not because the government will find out, but God knows. God knows. Even when I preach part-time at different places and I get money, I put that down as self-employment income. And now, I'm not trying to puff myself up. Don't misunderstand. But if I didn't know that, nobody would find out unless I got a 1099. And a lot of congregations don't give out 1099s. Well, they don't deserve it. Not whether they deserve it or not. I'm a U.S. citizen. I'm not going to lose my soul over saving a few hundred dollars in taxes. Who will find out? God. Oh, and by the way, if I lie in that, might I lie in other things? And you see, that's what Satan does. He catches where we're weak at. Let's go to another way. He deceives. He catches us by deception. Turn with me, if you will, to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. 2 Corinthians, this goes back to Eve. Now, I know we focus on Eve, but remember, Adam willingly followed through with her. So, you know, he's to blame also. It's not just Eve. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, Paul tells the Corinthians, but I fear lest somehow as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds might be corrupted from the simplicity of the truth. Now, how was Eve corrupted? Remember, she said, we're not to eat of any tree? And what did the devil say? He put down, surely that's not going to be so. Surely it's not going to be like that. And it was good for food, maybe make me like a god. It sounded good, didn't it? Well, surely God won't do that. And what'd she do? She partook of it. We're deceived today in our food. I need to quit eating Twinkies because I love Twinkies. And I need to quit eating Hostess cupcakes, but I love Hostess cupcakes. But they've gotten so much smaller than what they were. Man, in the 60s and 70s, when I ate a Twinkie, it was a Twinkie. When I ate a cupcake, it wasn't one-third of the size. It was a cupcake. Not anymore. Candy bars. My blood count went a little low yesterday, so one of my excuses, we got to stop at Winn-Dixie. I got to get a candy bar. I got a Milky Way. That was the tiniest little Milky Way. I thought it was a miniature. But that was a full-size Milky Way by today's standards. It's deception. And the devil knows how to deceive. And that's when we rationalize in our mind. Well, yeah, I know I shouldn't be doing this, but under this circumstance, I'm sure God understands. Well, when you say that, find the passage. Please show me the passage so I can use the same excuse. Now, for 40-some-odd years, I've not found that passage, but if it's there, please show it to me. that I can say, God, I know you wanted this, but under this circumstance, this is what I needed to do. I'm sure you understand. Well, if I'm sure he understands, it should be recorded for us, shouldn't we? So he uses deception as we deceive ourselves. It's kind of like James 1, 22, 23. 21, receive the word with meekness, but be ye doers of the word. Listen, not what? Not deceiving your own selves. And how is that? We hear what to do, but we do nothing with it. You see, Satan works through those ways. Let's look at another way. Oh, he loves working through circumstances. Does it all the time. I'll just give you a few circumstances. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. You know, Wilson brought up this morning about anger. I was worried he's going to get into my lesson, but he didn't, so I'm glad I can share this. Anger is an interesting emotion. And quite a bit of the anger we have is wrong. But not all anger is wrong. Understand that. Not all. How you respond with the anger usually becomes wrong because we go the wrong way. But a lot of our anger is wrong because of self-centeredness and because we didn't get our way and we're like Ahab. But listen what we have here in Ephesians. Because here's a case where we have a justifiable anger, but we still have to be careful that Satan doesn't take advantage of us. In Ephesians, we have recorded in chapter 4 and verse 26, it says, be angry. So now he's not saying be angry because you're selfish. He's not saying be angry like Ahab was angry. He's not saying be angry like Jezebel was angry. So when he says be angry, I conclude he had a justifiable reason for being angry. But it says here's a justifiable reason. Be ye angry and what? Sin not. Okay? And do not let the sun, sin not and do not let the sun go down on your wrath. Now notice verse 27. Look at verse 27. Nor give place to the devil. So even if I have a justifiable reason for being angry, I can't allow that justifiable anger to lead me to sin. And that's exactly what Satan wants us to do. Even when we have, now like I said, most of the times we don't have a right to be angry. But even if it's justifiable, you look at crime out there, and we could have a whole host of lessons on that. I think I can be justifiably angered by the lawlessness that's going on in our world. But that does not allow me to become a vigilante. I can't think I'm doing God's work by becoming a vigilante. So be angry and sin not. And see, Satan will catch us on those times. Because when you're angered, if you don't control yourself, you'll do those things you wished you hadn't done. Let's go to another one. One more. We'll take one more on this, and then we'll stop and move forward. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, we have recorded for us here a very simple passage. And this is the case. Remember, this goes back to 1 Corinthians and chapter 5, where the man had his father's wife. And they were told to withdraw from him. This, what he's doing is not right. You shouldn't be permitting this. You need to stop that. And they followed Paul's instruction. And the man came to his senses. He came out of his sin. So here's a good thing that was done. However, as we look at 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. Now to whom you forgive anything, I also forgive. For if indeed I have forgiven anything, I have forgiven and for that one, for your sake, in the presence of Christ. Now look at verse 11. Lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. In other words, here's this man, same man, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, who's in sin. They followed Paul's instruction, and the man came out of sin. So what now they're to do is to confirm their love to him. Now if they don't confirm their love to him, Satan's going to take advantage of us. Because now he's going to become so distraught, he's going to go back in the way of sin once again. So again, circumstances, financial adversity, illness, family problems. Every day there's different circumstances come our way. Don't let Satan use those circumstances for us to make wrong decisions. And then if we make the wrong decision, come to our senses and do that which is right and not justify ourselves. Because that's another thing we do. We try to justify ourselves. And one more before we move on. False teaching. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. We got a battle, but people don't realize it. 2 Corinthians 11, verses 14 and 15. It goes on to state in chapter 11, verse 14 and 15, "And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is of no great thing of his ministers also to transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works." That's why it's so important you know the truth, God's word. It's so important I know the truth. Including, and I'm not trying to make fun of this, including if they're preachers of the church. Let me tell you something, and you know this already. There's no preacher of the Church of Christ who's been given a shot of immunity by God that they can't fall. Not one of us. So you better be on your toes. Not that I'm trying to deceive you, but you better be on your toes what I'm teaching is right. And you better be on your toes what Wilson's teaching right, and what Brent is teaching is right, and what anybody else is teaching is right. I think sometimes we lull ourselves. Well, it must be right. How? Why is that? Because it's by a Church of Christ preacher. Well, that don't make it right. That don't make it right. Now, we know there's false teachers out there, but let me tell you something. There's false teachers in the church, too. As Wilson brought up a few weeks ago as he's studying 1 John, the new hermeneutics. Some of you, there is no new hermeneutics. There's new, but that's what some have done to try to justify things that they don't have no right to justify. Be students of God's word. If you think I'm teaching something in error, you come up to me. But you show me by book, chapter, and verse where you think I'm in error. But if I show you something where you're in error, then book, chapter, and verse, you change. But examine what everybody says. Because sometimes we may not even intend to be false teachers. But we could have gone the wrong way. Maybe we're reading the wrong books. What I mean by that, I'm not against you going to a religious bookstore and getting books. But remember, those are books of men. And you can learn some truth, but there's going to be some error. And if you just take it all as truth, you're going to be clouded as to what the truth is. Now, we got an enemy that can really take advantage of us without us even realizing. We could go to our grave not even realizing we've lost. Boy, that wouldn't be the good thing to do because now you've really lost. What do we do? Does God know the trouble we have with this enemy? I believe he does. So, in our closing part, here's the remedy. Resist him steadfast in the faith. Notice, where does faith come from? Romans 10, 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Here's this roaring lion. Here's this devil who wants to take you. Here's some of the tactics he uses. How are you going to overcome that? You got to resist him. How? Not by your own power, but by the faith. You resist him in the faith. And how do we do that? Well, real quickly. Understand that God will always provide a way of escape. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. In other words, no matter what scheme the devil is doing to try to get me to fall, he's going to give me an access way to come out of that. Verse 12, it talks about pride. He that thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he fall. But then the very next verse, no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful. Do you believe that? God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above that which you're able, but will with the temptation make a way of escape that you might be able to bear. The trouble is, brethren, we don't look at his way of escape because we don't look at the temptation, because we don't look at the battle, because we are failing because we're too late. Too late. And then what we do when we get our lives totally messed up, totally askew, we blame who? We blame God. God, why did you do this to me? And here's his book who teaches us how to live, teaches us the decision to make, but we leave this aside
And God makes a way of escape, but we ignore his way of escape. But then we come to him and say, God, I'm screwed up big time. Why'd you allow that? No, he didn't. He gave a way of escape. But we chose not to follow it. Including in the Lord's church. Including God's people. Marriage and divorce, big problem. Looking at unwholesome sites on the internet, big problem. I can go on. Too late, because we don't look at God. You know, we talked about if someone had lustful desires, what do you do? Well, first go to God's word, make a covenant with your eyes. Oh, and by the way, if you can't make a covenant with your eyes, get out of that situation. don't be in it. True story. Had a young babe in Christ in Minnesota, obeyed the gospel. Great young man. And he came to me. This is many years ago. I'm not going to give you his name, but I'm going to give you this true story. Came to me and said, Chuck, I have a problem. He said, I'm working at my father's Dairy Queen, and I can't help but lusting after these young girls, because he was young too. What do I do? Well, first thing I said, well, let me go home and study that. I didn't have the answer at that moment. But then in Job, it says, make a covenant with your eyes. So I said, you got to try to make a covenant with your eyes and try to get that off your mind. Otherwise, you'll keep on desiring that. It's going to lead into something that you don't want. Well, a couple months later, he said, Chuck, I've tried that. That didn't work. That's not working. I said, I don't know what to tell you. I'm not going to tell him to quit his job. He needed to make money. I said, but maybe I'd look for something else down the road. Guess what? He did. And he overcame that problem. Now, I admire someone like that. First of all, he acknowledged he had a problem. Second of all, he tried one way and that didn't work, but then he tried another way. And that worked. I admire that. And he was in his 20s at that time. Give me people like that and I'll show you people who will serve the Lord as they continue to have such a desire. So God provides a way of escape, but are we willing to follow it? Also, renew our minds. Romans 12. We're almost done. I appreciate your kind attention. Let's go to Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. We read this often, and I'm not apologizing for that. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. One of the things I do when I go try to walk every morning, Monday through Friday, and I walk on a treadmill at the health club, one of the boardings, it's like a mouse on a ramp. So to deal with that, I listen to music. But the more knowledge I get in the Word of God, the more I have to change my music. Music that I totally loved in the 60s and 70s. There are still songs I totally love, but some of those songs aren't what they should be. So I have to revise my music list. And I listen to some religious songs too, but it's not all religious songs. I listen to some songs of the 60s, some songs of the 70s. But what I come to find out is I'm renewing my mind. I've got to pay attention to what those words are. I like the beat to the song, but boy, I'm totally against what the song is promoting. And that's rock music. And that could be said for country music. And I'll put in parentheses rap, but I don't know much about rap. I just don't listen to rap. I'm sure there might be some good rap out there. I don't know. But if it is, be careful what words, because usually what little bit I've heard of that is all profane. And surely I shouldn't be listening to that. But again, renewing of your mind. And that's not just this 1 hour we're together here. That's day by day. What we feed upon. And then finally, and we're not going to, because this is a series of lessons itself. Be strong in the Lord. We close with this, well, we're going to close with a few other passages, but this brings the conclusion of the lesson. Ephesians 6, sometimes I said we close, and one sister came up to me years ago. Chuck, you said you closed with this passage, and you gave 4 more verses. So bear with me. Ephesians chapter 6. We're all familiar with this. Finally, my brethren, verse 10. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole, by the way, who's responsible for this? I am. Put on the whole armor of God. Why? Because we're in a battle. We're in a battle right to this day. Put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness in this age, against spiritual wickedness and heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. Look at the next phrase. Having done all to stand. All. And then he starts listing, if you look on the chart there, he starts listing the breastplate of righteousness and the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. But I've got to put those things on. Oh, and if I do, this is the beauty part. If I do, I win. I do not want to lose this battle. One thing that upsets me with kids in sports, oh, it don't matter if you win or lose, then don't play the sport. Go home. Yes, it does matter. Now, you shouldn't be a poor sport if you lose. I understand that. But it does matter. Oh, we're all winners. No, you're not. If you lost 15-2, you lost. Go home and practice more. That's my wife tells me. That's why I couldn't be a coach today. It matters if you win or lose in this battle. And you can always, always win. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. You make provision for the flesh so that you can live, but not to fulfill its lust. And then if you do that, this is one of my favorite passages. I put this same thing with John 3:16. Now thanks be to God who always leads us into triumph in Christ. How often? Always. I never have to lose to the devil if I remain in Christ. I never have to lose if I put on that gospel armor. I never have to hightail it out of there if Christ and his teachings are my life. Brethren, there is no compromise. There is no truce. You either are going to win the battle through Christ and his teachings, or you're deceiving yourself and you're losing. And Satan's just fine for you to deceive yourself. Satan's just fine for you to go home and say, well, that's just Chuck just talking out of his mouth. He didn't know what he said. Yeah, I gave you verses. Go home and study them. You're in a battle. Most important thing you have is your soul. Because that's what lives on to eternity. Jesus didn't die for you because you die after 50, 60, 70 years. Jesus died for you and me because we have a soul. And he wants us to have a home with his Father in heaven. And this is the beauty part. He guarantees victory. Guarantees victory if we serve him. So the question is, do we see the battle? Are we serving him? Do you have ways to improve? I know I have ways to improve. Like I said, I'm readjusting my music list. I'm doing other things. You say, well, that's minor. Well, those minors become majors. Ways to improve. Each day I study, there's something I learn more. I'm studying about wisdom right now. James talks about praying for wisdom. Remember James? But guess where wisdom's at? Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. And you stop and think about those verses, how they apply today. I need a lot more study in that. How about you? Where are you at in this battle? Oh, I'm not going to get in the battle. You're in the battle. It's not whether or not you want to get in or not. You're in the battle. And if you don't think so, you've already lost the battle. You win through Christ. Putting them on baptism and growing the grace and knowledge day by day as we stand and as we sing.